are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Resonated so deeply in my heart. Yeah. I just hadn't been able to get it out of my spirit. And just thought that God wanted to bless somebody this morning. Because I think there are some people here that feel like that. Yeah. You've come too far from wherever you started from. Yeah. Nobody said it would be easy. But God has brought you this far. He ain't gonna leave you now.
Yeah.
That's good news for us this morning. It's a good word. Father, we thank you for blessing us. Celebrate Independence Day again. Celebrate the independence of the United States as a nation. And yes, you brought us far, but there's ways yet to go. You brought us, we built the nation on the backs of the sons and daughters of Africa. Now they don't want that to even be in the record book. But we know that you know what you have done. You've blessed the United States to be not only independent from Great Britain, but from every other nation. And while we have independence, we're yet interdependent on one another. And help us to understand those great truths. Help us, even here to church, to understand that we are interdependent upon each other. And even in our families of origin, we are interdependent of one another. Now, Lord, as we come to your word on this glorious day, we thank you for the songs that have been sang, the scriptures that have been read, the prayers that have been offered. Now we need your word to help us to live. Lift again your human out of self. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and through us in this moment. Bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditation that's on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, you are our strength, you are our Redeemer. Keep us by your power. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Won't you turn with me this morning as we conclude this series on the blessing, the problems that we face. We've looked at the problem of sin. We've looked at the problem of evil. We've looked at the problem of the attack on the family. Last week we looked at the problem of doubt. And this morning I want to look at one more problem. Genesis 27. Genesis 27. Now it's a lengthy passage. It goes all the way through about the 44th verse, and I won't read all of that, but I will read a good portion of it. So let me read this morning, and because I want you to get this in your mind. As far as we go, Ms. Davis, follow me. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make thee them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank it. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing of Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from his presence, of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou comest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed indeed. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning from the subject, the problem of blessing. The problem of blessing. Everybody's looking at me funny saying, what could be a problem with blessing? Everybody wants to be blessed. And all you have to do is look at the internet these days, or most Facebook posts, Instagram chats, and you'll see people repeating over and over again, I'm blessed. When I read that girl's story that I mentioned yesterday, earlier, Kennedy Wisenack, and saw that she had won that beauty contest and had won $400,000 in scholarships and a new car and other things, couldn't help but to think, now that's blessed. She's blessed. Her mama's blessed, right? And we all tend to look at certain things as blessing. Promotions, been blessed. Raises, been blessed. New house, been blessed. New car, been blessed. Something good is usually associated in our estimation with what it is to be blessed. But the truth is that blessings, while it may be in vogue, is not all about good things. God can use any situation and make it a blessing. God can turn ugly things into blessings for you. How many ever had God work on you like that? Ever had the Lord take something that was designed by somebody else to mean something that it didn't mean, but God turned it around for your favor? See, we all like the good life, and we think the only thing that produces blessings are the good thing. But the truth is, my trials and my challenges have produced more in the line of blessing than the good things that have come my way. Times on my knees, times when my heart has been broken, times when tears have run down my face, I found myself more in a blessed situation than I have at times when everything appeared to be going my way. If blessing was all just the good things, then this would be a blessed nation. And many people would feel blessed. But the truth is, that's not always the way it is. And we've got to understand it in a different way. So when we come to this text this morning, we see Jacob, probably the worst of the worst of the biblical heroes that there is. And yet his life ended up being blessed. Here in the text, we see an account of a stolen blessing. And I want to tell you that that's not the way to be blessed. You don't get blessed trying to take it from somebody else. But I want you to understand that God has a way of bringing it about. We all want that good life. We all want God's richest blessings. We all want the desires of our heart. We all want the deep needs, the things that satisfy us. And some of us, we're still waiting. We're saying, I'm waiting till my ship come in. I'm waiting till my numbers line up. Some go to the casino and say, I'm waiting on those sevens. And whatever it may be that you might think will bring the good life. But the good life is already here. Every day that the Lord sends, all you have to do is look around and realize that I've been blessed. I tell you, I listened to that old song the other day when I look at the shoes that I'm wearing, the clothes on my back, I realized that I've been blessed. Anybody know you've been blessed? I can move this morning. I can breathe this morning. I could dress myself this morning. I'm blessed. That's the good life. That's what we think. That's what we think. But unmet desires, see, that's what causes me to go on my knees. It's when it doesn't happen my way. See, when it's going my way, I may forget God. Often we do. Often we don't call on the name of the Lord when things are well, when they are so going my way. When my money is all right, but it's when my money is funny and my change is strange that I find myself saying, now, Lord, come on, I'm not by myself. Don't you look at me. God's greatest blessings rest with God himself. I want you to understand there are some things that you can't do. You might be bad, you might be smart, you might be wise and otherwise, but you can't bless yourself. Only God can bless you, and God does. So I want to look at four things in the text this morning. I want to look at, one, the power of blessing. I want to look at the need, our deep need for blessing. I want to look at the wrong way for blessing, and I want to look at the right way. Let me just start off by telling you, everybody in the text, the main characters in the text, all did something wrong. Jacob was wrong. Isaac was wrong. Esau was wrong. And Rebekah was wrong. I know you want to feel sorry for Esau because it looked like Esau was tricked again and robbed of his blessing. But before you cry for Esau, let me remind you that this is the same boy that as a boy sold his birthright for a cup of soup. He didn't value spiritual things. And now that the blessing is given to his brother, you know, there's no reason for him to be upset, but he carefully seeks a blessing from his father with tears. If you notice, over and over, the word blessing is in the text. Rebekah overheard Isaac saying that he wanted to bless Esau. And she came up with a scheme. And she was wrong. Isaac was wrong. Somebody said, how was Isaac wrong? Because Isaac already knew the prophecy. The prophecy had been that the older would serve the younger. And that was God's word. And that wasn't going to change. But Isaac was determined that he was going to give the blessing to Jacob. And he was wrong. He decided he was going to overthrow what God's will was. This is why I want to talk about the power of blessing, because I want you to understand what it is, what it means. You can't overthrow God. And other people try to do it. Sometimes they try to do it to you. Sometimes other people, what God has designed for you, other people think that they have the power and the ability to reverse what God has decided is for you. But they don't have that power. They don't have that ability. Let's look at this issue. Blessing. What it means. Rebekah thought that Jacob should receive the blessing. Now, because I guess she understood it. So she thought that she could steal it. She was wrong. Even though she knew what the promise had been when she was pregnant, She knew that there was war going on in her belly. She had twins on the inside, and the twins were interpreted as two nations that were warring on the inside. And that's where God made the promise that the younger would be the leader of that family. You got to know, it goes all the way back to the patriarch Abraham. Abraham, God started over with Abraham. You remember after the flood of Noah, God decided he was going to start over again. All right? And now he calls Abram of Ur the Chaldees, and he says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. In you shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. So one of your seed. So Abraham had a child because he was barren. He and his wife Elizabeth couldn't do nothing. And so Abraham took on Hagar and had a child, Ishmael. But that wasn't the seed that God was going to bless. God decided that that's not going to be it. So in his old age, God gave them Isaac. Isaac would be the seed, but Isaac wasn't going to be the one to bless the whole earth. So Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Which one of them was going to be the seed that would pass on to others? It wasn't Esau. He was a wild man. He was a rude man. He didn't care anything about spiritual things. So God had chosen Jacob, the least likely, to be the bearer and pass it on. And down through Jacob's 12 sons, ultimately would come the tribe of Judah. And out of the tribe of Judah would become Jesus. And Jesus would be that blesser that would bless the whole earth. I want you to see that. But now, at that day, they all are thinking about who's going to be the blessing carrier. And so it was a prized place. But what is blessing? What is it to be blessed? A blessing is to be affirmed by God that God's best is on you. Words speaks volumes. When I was a kid, we used to say sticks and stones, what? May break my bones, but words don't bother me. That's not true. That's half true. Words do bother us. Words have the power to shape us. Either negatively or positively. There are a whole lot of people, lives have been shaped by negative words. And we call those curses. Somebody said to some of you in here this morning, you'll never be nothing. You just like him. You just like her. And you won't do nothing or you can't become anything. And those words have been around and on your life and over your life and shape your life in a negative way. On the other hand, there have been people who have given positive words of affirmation. You are smart. You're wise. You're special. God's hand is on you. You're going to do great things. You're going to accomplish much. God has a plan for your life. And those words have also covered your life and shaped your life. And we call those blessings. What the old patriarchal family wanted and needed more than anything else were the words from the patriarch which shaped the lives and the future of the generations. So Isaac's words would become blessings. They would become the shapers of the lives of his sons. And now he's thinking that his time is up. He's 130 years old. And the scriptures say his eyes were dim. He could not see because he thought he was getting ready to die. But let me correct that. Isaac didn't die until he was 180. So he still had 50 more years. But how many know everybody got a bucket list? And on everybody's bucket list, there are some things that they want to get done before they die. And Isaac said to Jacob, he said to his oldest son, Esau, he said, go out into the field, man. So you like me, my favorite boy. And I want you to take your bow and the arrow and all your equipment and go out and hunt me some venison. And I want you to make me some of that savory meat like I love. And I think that every time, probably over the years, that Isaac said that to Esau, Rebecca was probably standing in the background thinking to herself, yeah, you want to make him be your chef boy ID when I'm really the best cook in the house. He go out there and he hunt that deer and he hunt that venison and he take all day to cook it. He said, she probably said to herself, I can make me take two goats and make the same stuff and he won't even know the difference. That's probably what she was thinking to herself. And now the opportunity came, because the day Isaac said to Esau, take your bow, go out into the field, hunt the deer, find it, cook me some of that deer meat like I like, and bring it. And you know what Miss Rebecca is saying? See, I told you I can do it. She overheard it. She said, not on my life. So she says to her son, Jacob. Now you see the favoritism. Isaac favored Esau. Rebecca favors, Jacob. May I pause and tell you, whenever that stuff is openly displayed in a family, it's going to show in some ugly manner. Division is going to occur. You can't treat all your children alike, but you can treat them all right. Everybody may have different needs, but every parent here needs to understand that you have to be down that line and treat both your children or more than one child all right. And so Rebecca came up with a scheme. She said, this is my time to show this boy that I know what I'm doing. She goes to Jacob. She said, you go out to the flock and you find me two young goats, and you bring them to me, and I'm going to put my stuff on them. And I'm going to make that savory meat just like he like. Hey, he won't even know the difference. I've been telling him that for all of these years. And now I get to show it. And Jacob says, but I don't want to appear to be a deceiver. At first, look like he's trying to rationalize this thing. My brother is smooth. I mean, he's hairy and I'm smooth. He's a field guy. He got hair on his arms, hands, and around his neck. And I'm smooth. So my father's going to want to touch me. And he's going to find out that I'm lying to him. So she says, and she didn't even know what she was saying, your curse be upon me. Hey, Lord, that's the key to the whole thing, because that was with Jesus' words, okay? I'll get to that in a minute. So he goes out to the flock, and he gets two goats, and she whoops up those two goats in a short period of time, whoops up that savory meat, and she finds some of Esau's clothes lying around, and she dresses Jacob up as if, come on, look at this. He is Esau, okay? Because what? She wanted him to be what? Blessed. He wanted to be what? All right. Y'all go catch me in a minute. Everybody wants to be blessed. But some people will go to extreme methods and extreme limits just to be what? Blessed. And that's where I'm going. Words are blessings when they are spoken well and spoken right and spoken by the right person. They are shaping for our lives. And that's what the idea was. Words can ruin or devastate us. Every one of us, here it is, secondly, have a need to be blessed. But remember what I said earlier. You can't bless yourself. You can't bless yourself. Only God can bless you. Other people can say mean things about you, but just because they say mean things does not have to be the way it is. People have said some ugly things over the years, but it doesn't have to affect you. It can when it comes from a parent. It can when it comes from somebody close to you, but it doesn't have to. That's my point. You don't have to be shaped by other people's words. Ultimately, you are who God say you are. And that's whose words you want to hear. But in that hierarchical nature, that old era, when the father spoke, man, that was it. And they all wanted the father's love. They all wanted the father to dote on them and to love on them and to affirm them. And Jacob was no different. He longed to hear Isaac say wonderful things to him, which makes me believe that Isaac had been pouring all of his stuff on who? On Esau. And affirming Esau at every turn, and never saying anything positive or good to Jacob. Oh, I know somebody here see this. I know somebody here is going through your family's line, your own family history, and you have seen this scenario played out in your own family line. You saw it because they favored your brother, they favored your sister, and they didn't favor you. And they always talked to them a certain way and never said those things about you. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was you in your family. Maybe it was what they said or didn't say. But you wanted to hear the positive stuff. And because Jacob wanted to hear it from his father Esau, he was willing to go along with what he knew could ultimately determine him as a deceiver, because he wanted to hear the blessing that was coming his way. So he dressed up as Esau. Look at that. He put on Esau's clothes. He put hair on his hands. He put hair around his neck so that he could feel like Esau, because he knew that Isaac couldn't see. So it's a deception. But that's how bad people want to be blessed. That's how bad our need for being blessed is. It'll cause people to do some stuff. Man, can I just say it like this? I don't want to do it like this, but I got to just mention it. Donald Trump wanted to be president so bad a second time. He deceived millions, knowing up front that it was not the truth. And so Jacob, being willing just to be affirmed, dresses up like his brother Esau. And he goes into his father. He's got the soup. He's got the meat. His mama has made it. He got the winning dish. And he goes in. And Isaac say, who is it? And listen at what he says. I'm Esau, your firstborn. What a lie. What a deception. But that's what he did. Because of the desperation in his own heart to receive a blessing. And man, I just can't tell you how many times, and I can't describe, time won't permit me to describe how many people have been so desperate to appear to be blessed that they have went through all kinds of things. But let me tell you something, your self-worth can't come from you. It has to be affirmed by others. You don't know who you are. That's why other people say to us, you know, ever before I started preaching, people were saying to me, you preaching. Everybody, when I was still in the gig band and we take a break and I'm the only one in the club preaching. Everybody else in there having a good time. And I'm up preaching. And everybody telling me, man, you preaching. Everybody knew it but me. All my life. I heard it. I remember one year, man, we went to California. Man, when my mom was living, we went to California, way on the other side, on the East Coast. And I wanted to visit some of the sites, so we went to a winery. Yes, I wanted to see how they made wine. Had never been. Went through the winery, came into the reception room. And the man said, would you like to sample some? I said, sure. And as soon as I put the cup out, another man said, I didn't know preachers drink. I said, what you talking about? I wasn't preaching then. I dropped the cup. Other people were affirming. It was down in New Orleans, man, at a frat conclave. Preaching was the last thing on my mind, but they asked for somebody to pray. And before I knew it, I was in the middle circle of all of these thousands of men. And I'm praying. And when I finished praying, I went back to the sideline. And another old man, old Q, came up to me. And he said, son, I felt you. He said, the Spirit of God is in you, is on you. When I accepted the call, I was at a backyard barbecue. And I was sitting there and I couldn't be comfortable. I didn't know how to express it. But a man was sitting there playing dominoes and he looked up at me with big eyes. And he said, boy, why don't you do what the Lord told you to do? I almost jumped out of my skin. I said, what you talking about? And he got up. He said, son, the Spirit of God is all over you. I said, man, you don't know me. He said, I don't have to know you. I know God. I said, who are you? And he said, my name is Reverend J.M. Lewis. And God used that man to affirm to me and in me what I could never affirm in myself. So are you listening to me? Other people have to affirm you. You don't affirm yourself. And I want you to understand there are wrong ways to be blessed. And Isaac and Esau were going about it the wrong way. Jacob and Rebekah were going about it the wrong way. All of them were going about it the wrong way. Look at the wrong way. Here's Jacob dressing up like Esau. And he comes into his father. And his father said, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau, your firstborn. And Isaac already suspected something. He said, how is it that you got the blessing, the deal so quick? And then he lies again. The Lord brought it to me. How many people lie on God? The Lord did it. Can I tell you, ladies, something? Be careful about leaving your purse. If you leave it in church, somebody said, look what the Lord did. I'm honest with you. People will lie on God. And this boy lied to his daddy face to face boldly. I'm Esau, your firstborn. Your firstborn. In other words, what he's saying is the one you love. Everybody wanted the love of the firstborn. Because he was the one that would receive all of the doting and all of the things. And then Isaac said, come a little closer then. I want to feel you. He's still suspicious. He said, the voice sounds like Jacob, but it feels like Esau. The scheme is working, it seems. He's being touched, and he says, come a little closer and kiss me. Third test. And he comes a little closer. And what's that designed to do? So that he could smell him. And since he's dressed up like Esau, he smells like Esau. So it appears that the deception is working. And so Isaac eats. And may I say, his problem was his eating. It messed him up over and over again. It messed all of them up. It messed Jacob up. And Jacob sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Here's Isaac now giving away the blessing over some savory meat that his wife done tricked him on because she knew how to do what she knew. Right? But that's the wrong way to get blessed. Don't deceive. Let me tell you what I'm saying, because some of you still looking at me funny. You hadn't heard what I said. How in the world you going to get blessed dressing up like somebody you're not? You can't fool God. You might fool man, but you can't fool God. And a whole lot of folk dress up like somebody that they're not. We dress up on Sunday. We look like the preacher. We look like the choir member. We look like the deacon. We look like the deaconess. We look holy and we look right. And we look as if we want people to think that we don't have any issues in our life. We want people to think that we dress up in Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so so that we can look respectable. And as long as we look a certain way and carry on a certain persona, then people would think we're okay. We're just dressing up as somebody. Listen, I came to Jesus, I did, just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad, just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, God, I'm not pretending. I'm not trying to fool you. I'm not trying to fool nobody. What you see is what you get. And that's the only way to be blessed, for real. Because ultimately, who's going to bless? It's God. And I want you to understand that when you come the right way, you'll receive the blessing the right way. Anyone who dresses up and pretends is not coming the right way. And the moral of the story helps us to understand that you don't have to be somebody that you're not. God loves you just as you are. And God treats us all as if we are his only one. You know what? What? How did he do that? He brought Jesus into the world. And he took Jesus to a hill called Calvary. And he allowed him to die. Why? In our place. He took on our sin so that we can receive the blessing from him. And that's what we need to understand. God will work through you. He'll work even through a Jacob. Now, Jacob deceived and Jacob got away. Once the blessing was pronounced on Jacob, it had to go forward, because the word was given that just as you smell like the wild outdoors, Your seed is going to be blessed like the wild outdoors. You're going to be father over nations, he tells him. And you're going to have corn and wine. He's giving him lifelong sustaining powers. And he tells him that anyone who blesses you is going to be blessed. Anyone who curses you is going to be cursed. Same blessing that God has shown to Abraham, he's now passing on. But you and I are beyond that now. It's not this transgenerational process, is that each one of us stands before Christ on the merit of who we are as we are. And he then pronounces the blessing on your life. And Jesus says to you, like he says to all of us, I know the plan that I have for you. Plans for what? Good and not evil. To give you what? A future and a hope. What does Jesus say? That's the Old Testament, Jeremiah, but it applies to us. But Jesus says these words, come unto me, some of you, most of you, certain ones of you. Now, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you do what? Learn of me. If you want to be blessed, learn who I am. Learn how it comes. Learn that I have no respect of persons. I'm not lost. I know who you are. I know what you need. And I don't mind making sure that you have what you need. Now, what does God do? He takes Jacob And even though Jacob has received a blessing in a wrong way, he can't enjoy it right away. He can't. Jacob now has to leave home because in a few minutes, Esau comes in. Esau comes right in. He's been out in the field. He done hunted. He done stayed out there. He done cooked the meat. And he brings it in. And he says, "My father." And Isaac looks. He can't see. But he's stunned. And he says, "Who is it?" And he says, "Rightly, I'm Esau, your firstborn." And the Bible says that Isaac trembled exceedingly. That is, he violently, because he realizes that he has been deceived. And he says, Who was that was just here that brought in savory meat, and I have eaten it, and I have blessed him, and the blessing is irrevocable. It's going to happen." And Esau, you can't help but feel sorry for him, but you shouldn't. He says, "Is there not one more blessing? Don't you at least have one blessing for me?" You see, this is why I'm saying to children, when he was young, he didn't value the spiritual blessing that he was entitled to. And now that he's an older man, he wants it, but it's too late. You have to take advantage of the opportunities and the moments and the valuing of God while it's early, and let that come up in you and be all through you. And then when you're older, it will still have meaning, and perhaps even more meaning. Isaac had a blessing for Jacob, for Esau. And he tells him, "You're going to be father too, but you're going to serve your brother. You're going to be a wild man. You got nations in you. And you wonder why the Jews and the Arabs fight in Israel today. This is where it all started, because of Jacob and Esau." But you know what God does? God takes the deception. He doesn't reverse it. He lets Jacob leave. Esau is so mad. He says to Jacob, he said, "The days of my father's mourning is just but a little while ago. And when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother and take vengeance on him for stealing my blessing." Really, was it his blessing? It could have been, but he didn't value it. So it went to Jacob. And now Rebecca comes up with another scheme. She goes to Isaac and she said, "Look, Esau has already married these Hittite women." He said, "Let's not let Jacob marry these foreign women. Let's send Jacob to my home, to my brother Laban's house, and let him marry one of the daughters of my family so that our family can stay pure." Isaac remembered that that's what happened to him, and he went along with it. But Rebekah's scheme was to get Jacob out of harm's way until Esau calmed down. The sadness about it is Rebekah says that she didn't want to lose two sons in one day. And it's true that if Esau had killed his brother, then that was the day of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So someone would have had the right to come along and kill Esau. So she would have lost two sons in one day. But instead, she still lost two sons. Even though Esau stayed at home, he was lost to her. Jacob went away to Paddan Aram for 20 years. Rebekah never saw her son again. It's a sad thing. And it was all because of a cooked up scheme. Jacob goes away, he got the blessing, but he can't enjoy it. He goes to Paddan Aram and he finds out that there's a greater trickster than even he is. He runs into Uncle Laban, and Laban puts some on him. He worked for Laban for 7 years to marry Rachel, and Laban tricks him and gives him Leah. Then he worked 7 more years. He ends up 20 years before he comes away from there, now with 12 sons, couple of daughters, and no actualization of the blessing. You know when Jacob received the blessing? When he was almost back home and he wrestled all night with the angel. And he says to the angel, I'm not going to turn you loose until you what? And do you know who he was wrestling with? He was wrestling with God, because only God can bless you. And once he got it right, then God released the blessing, and Jacob became a prince among his people. God will reverse it. You may have tricked somebody to get it, but you won't be able to enjoy it until God releases it. But I'm so glad that God has released it already, because I came to him like I was supposed to. I didn't come as somebody else. I came as myself, and the Lord has blessed. Anybody came like you and God has blessed you? Come on, let me show it to you. That's why I can say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. See, it could have been me outdoors. It could have been me no shoes. It could have been me no clothes. But God has blessed me. We see tragedies every day, everywhere. But God's hand has been around me, on me, and on you. And consequently, all we can say, because we have received the blessing the right way, is thank you, Lord. Yeah. Can anybody say thank you, Lord? Thank you for all that you have done for me. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Somebody might be here this morning. Blessing can be a problem. It's a good thing. We all need it. God wants you to have it. It's more than just a good life. It's the favor of God. It's God loving on you. It's God treating you as you are the only child. It's God showing you his favor. And whatever God shows you, his favor and his love, you're blessed indeed. And that's what God is doing. Come on, baby, you can sing it now anytime. The doors of the church open. Anytime during the singing of the song, this is your moment. Come on, baby.
Commonplace, all kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. Economy's down, people can't get enough pay. As for me,
that's what we ought to say today. We ought to worship him. Come on to me.
Folks without homes, living out in the streets, and the drug habits, some say they just can't beat. Mothers and robbers, no place seems to be safe. But you've been my protection, never is not far away. I want to say,
just go.
Say thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. And this is where it all starts, with Holy Communion, to remind us of all that the Lord hath done for us. That we can approach him now, not as Esau, not as someone else, but we can approach the table as ourselves. I could come just like I am. Sinful man that I have been and can be. Knowing that his sacrifice on the cross has paid for my sins in full. And God blesses me. Not somebody that he thought was me, but blesses.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org for an uplifting message. Please join us for the next broadcast.